Let's get to Isaac Poole, Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services, will be with us for this half hour. Isaac, great to have you. Let's put a couple of stories together and then extrapolate from them. One, which we get every day, more hawkish Fed speak. And two, the noted investor, Scott Minard, as Doug referred to, saying that the Fed is going to tighten until something breaks. So is it fair to say that there's a lack of diverse views at the Fed right now? They're all saying exactly the same thing. And do you think that's healthy?
Yeah, I think that they are saying exactly the same thing. But I think there is a fairly clear message there, and that is they want to hike until rates are restrictive, but then leave it there for a very long time. That does have a risk that they break something. Historically, there is a high chance of breaking. But that reaction function, getting to a level that's pretty restrictive and then just pausing for 6 months, 12 months, I think that's a really clear message. And I think that's quite likely to happen towards the end of this year or early next year.
Isaac, tell me something. Do you think that the market itself doesn't quite seriously take what the Fed is saying? And even though they're trying to hammer the same message in unison at times to them?
Yeah, I mean, the market is pricing a pivot, which is a rate cut, a series of rate cuts next year. That is just very unlikely. It would be very unusual compared to historical actions from the Fed over the last 30 or 40 years. So there is a bit of a misunderstanding, I think, in the market of the Fed's message. And until that happens. Yeah,
Isaac, is that because, you know, for ages, Jay Powell went on about inflation being transitory. So that's, you know, that the credibility has been eroded.
It hasn't helped. They are battling to get their credibility back. And so I think that's why they're so forceful about their message. But the market needs to move to a pause, not a pivot. That's not helpful. And it's likely to be proven very incorrect.
I think the policymakers, you know, they're not stupid. They know they have to talk a good game. Otherwise, money will flow back into the market and you'll have a loosening of these tight conditions. But you have to say that investors aren't stupid either. And, you know, they're going to watch the data and they will make assumptions on when the Fed might blink. So both sides are doing probably what they should be doing. Is that a reasonable argument?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And at the moment, the data are showing that there's no inflation expectations issue. There's no wage spiral. Inflation is trending lower. And so they're going to meet in the middle somewhere. And I think that's going to be somewhere around 4%, 4.25%, and then a long pause. And it's just that move towards that over the next 3 or 4 months, it's going to keep markets volatile in that period.
Well, indeed, volatility is one thing, but you know, when do we actually see? I'm going to say, how much store does the Fed put in the earnings season, which is coming up, and what are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, the Fed will be looking to see what's happening to margins. Are inflations impacting the ability of companies to keep margins wide and earn profits? And I think they'll look at that in the sense that if they are able to keep margins wide, that could be inflationary and that will be a bit of a concern. I think they're expecting it to trend lower and for earnings pressure to be a little bit of a challenge for the equity market. And ultimately, I think they'll be very comfortable with that.
Tell me, what at the moment are you looking at in terms of value in the market? I mean, you look at what's going on and I guess, you know, price is what you pay. And as Buffett said, and value is what you get.
Yeah, that's right. I think right now the most interesting part of the market is fixed income and particularly government bonds. If the Fed does pause, and they will eventually, they're going to pause at some stage, then 10-year Treasury yields above 4% look pretty attractive at that level. And they did pop up there. They're moving higher again. I think that would be another opportunity if they get around that 4% level to lock in more duration into portfolios.
We know there are plenty of examples of inflation or prices coming down. However, I was listening to the Mondelez CEO, Dirk Van der Put, on CNBC, and he said he doesn't have particularly good news on that front. He said that while commodity prices are down, that his packaging costs are a lot higher, and so were other prices tied to labor and logistics and storage. So one of the problems with the Fed pivot is that maybe they raise those rates up there, and they just hold them there for a year, and that could complicate equity prices at the moment.
I think that is what they'll do because they do want to prevent inflation moving higher. I think higher prices will be here for a while, but they won't continue to rise if rates get high enough. And if the rate, the Fed funds rate, does get to say 4.25, maybe 4.5, and stay there for a year, that will be challenging for parts of the equity market. But I think it, importantly, if it doesn't keep moving higher, there is some support there for US equities in particular over the next 12 to 18 months.
The thing is also, Isaac, I mean, how closely do you look at emerging markets as well? I mean, if we look at China, I mean, it seems like all the bad news must be priced in, or it should be priced in, given how far we've gone with equities and other assets there. So, you know, does this represent a buying opportunity? And do you actually wait till the party congress is over with? And what do you expect out of that?
Yeah, I think that the party congress is going to move through to an era of more soft reopening. And we've seen that over the last few months. Soft reopening is happening. I think we'll see more internal mobility. I think that means China's economy will move out of recession and grow okay next year. That'll be good for the world economy. But importantly, Chinese equities are pricing in such an appalling outlook that that there is real genuine upside over the next 12 months. And I think it would be sensible to start looking at Chinese equities at these levels as an opportunity.
So I'm going to outline a problem that probably doesn't exist for China, but if you look around the rest of Asia, a lot of countries have diminished their reserves by a huge amount in bolstering their currency. And we've seen that happen in Korea and Thailand and other places, to the point where for some of them, they're down to only a few months of being able to cover imports. When you talk about things breaking, you know, that's an example of how they're are these unintended consequences of the strong dollar and higher rates?
Yeah, I mean, the stronger dollar, higher rates, elevated oil prices, throw that in the mix. That is a real challenge for Asia and Asian equities. And you're seeing that really directly in the currency movements this year. So if you are looking for a place that could break, it could snap relatively soon, that's it. I think that the Fed would need to move rates quite a bit higher before that becomes a real big concern. But this is the big risk over the next 12 months of Fed policy era, and that they're talking tough. And that's got to be a concern, I think, for investors around Asia at the moment.
You know, policy era is very easy, given the lag between putting rates up and seeing the effect of them.
Exactly. So that's really the argument, I think, for more rate hikes. But 75 basis point hikes are unusual historically. Three of them in a row is really unusual historically. The Fed would be sensible to start hiking at a slower rate. They can still get up to 4.5%, 4.25%, 4% over the next 3 or 4 months without banging up 75 basis points in November and December. So I think that's the question they're going to have to start asking themselves. And I think the data is allowing them to slow that pace and still be restrictive in policy.
Yep, that's just it, isn't it, ultimately? Thanks a lot for that, Isaac. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, Isaac Poole there from Oriana Financial there. Oriana, of course, is a financial services company, discussing his take on the markets.